Smith Show. So now officially three Democrats are going to be voting for Judge Gorsuch's confirmation. You got Manchin, who there was never a doubt there. Heitkamp, which I got to be honest, I didn't doubt either. And now Donnelly from Indiana. And no doubt there. The question is you've got Schumer who's saying that probably not going to get to 60. So what does he know that the rest of us don't? And really, what should Democrats be doing? After all, as I've said all along, this is the stolen seat. We know who stole it. We know who was behind it. We know the thieves. But will we hold them accountable? Anyway, here to talk about what we should be doing, I've asked Bill Scheer, a contributing editor over at Politico Magazine, to come talk with us. Bill, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be on. Thank you.
So that's like the $64,000 question. What do Democrats do? Do they force the nuclear option?
Well, we're just about there. Just a few minutes ago, by the way, Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado says he will not filibuster Gorsuch. So he didn't say what he would do on an up or down vote, but so that's four that won't filibuster. But Republicans need to get eight, and there's fewer and fewer senators available to get to that point. I think they actually might. I think Democrats are at this point one away from locking down 41 who will filibuster.
So are you surprised? Are you surprised by Bennett? I mean, after all, Gorsuch is from Colorado. And that would kind of be going against your home state. I mean, that's are you surprised?
I'm not totally surprised. You know, Bennett introduced Gorsuch to the Judiciary Committee, which didn't necessarily mean he would vote for him, but clearly showed there was some hometown affinity there. And so that it puts him in a tricky spot. And he's also trying to save the filibuster, which I have some sympathy towards. But as I wrote in Politico back in February, if the argument is we have to save the filibuster for the next one, well, you've already lost it. It's already been understood that once you try to use it, Republicans are going to take it away.
Exactly.
So why would they not take it away the next time? Use it. It's already gone.
Exactly. I mean, it's the dry powder theory. We're just keeping our powder dry. And as I always say, when it's over, at least you'll have dry powder.
Right. And look, I'm in an ideal world, it wouldn't be gone. You would have a bipartisan consensus for a 60-vote threshold for a lifetime Supreme Court appointment, which I don't think is a reasonable standard. But that's not where we are. You either, so two things for Democrats to do at this point, either try to win the nuclear option vote, see if you can pick off three Republicans who do want to preserve the filibuster and win on that score, or that granted is a long shot. Otherwise, if it's a fait accompli that Gorsuch is going to be confirmed, you have to do your best to win the argument with the public. And that is to say that Democrats believe in a truly independent judiciary, a Supreme Court that is not a political football, that is not spoils to be won in an election. And that is how Republicans have treated this seat. When Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland, a judge that was uniformly considered to be a down-the-middle judge that Republicans praised beforehand, and they turned on him so they could give that seat to a far-right justice, a judicial activist judge. That is not what the Supreme Court is supposed to be, and that's what Democrats are fighting against. I mean, that, I think, is ground that most Americans can get behind.
Yeah, and it's what I've been saying for a very long time, because, look, I wasn't thrilled with Gorsuch. I mean, I wasn't thrilled with Garland, but, he seemed... reasonable. I mean, it's somebody that you want who's going to do, as John Roberts said, going to call balls and strikes. He wasn't someone who was going to overturn the boat, so to speak. And I thought was a reasonable choice that should have gotten at least, at the barest of minimum, hearings and a move forward, even if not a non-confirmation.
Well, and you see Republicans dance around this point all the time. Mitch McConnell was just on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd on Sunday, and McConnell was using this artificial argument So you don't vote on Supreme Court justices in election years, which is just manifestly not true. Well, Todd, so why, if that's your view, why not bring it up for a vote and vote no on those grounds? And he can't, and McConnell can't answer that. And you can't answer that because to hold the hearing and to hold the vote is to allow the public to make their own judgment and talk to their senators about what they want them to do. That's what the process is supposed to be. What the Republicans are saying now is, oh, we just want the public to weigh in on Election Day. Well, if that's the case, guess what? Most Americans did not vote for this. The Electoral College voted for this. I'm not saying Trump's not legitimately elected. He was. But if this is some referendum on who the people on the court, well, you lost that vote. You're supposed, the public enters the process during the hearings and during the vote on the Senate floor, and that was denied the public last year. And this is a chance for the public to weigh in and say this is not how this is supposed to go.
I'm with you, but at the end of the day, you go back to the reality is that argument that, well, we've never done that in the past is ridiculous because you've got a sitting justice who was confirmed during an election year in Anthony Kennedy.
Absolutely. I mean, this is that's why the talking point is completely silly. I mean, not only was Kennedy confirmed in an election year, there was a filibuster of a judge in an election year in 1968 with Abe Fortas. They didn't not have the hearing. They had the argument. And Lyndon Johnson lost the argument. So you are allowed to have this consideration happening. I mean, democracy doesn't stop. We don't all go on vacation. Once election season starts, you pass laws. You make appointments. You know, the business of government is always happening, even when it's election season. So it's just a farcical argument.
Now, I mean, there are some who at this point would like to see everything stop during election season and start the election right now.
Well, you know who wants to have the election right now? Donald Trump. He already has.
I know he's already got his 2020 re-election campaign bid already up and running and doing rallies and all of that, which is why I throw that out there. Maybe everything stops for the next three years and 10 months.
And of course, there's midterm elections too. Do midterm elections count in making this a consideration? Do we not have any court appointments for any even number of years? I mean, you can go down the rabbit hole so quickly because it's not.
Because it's so insane.
Democrats, I think. Sorry, go on.
No, because it's so insane, and that's the sad reality, is they've really, and look, mission accomplished. These are people who don't believe in government, they don't want government to work, and they've mucked it up really good, and they're happy with this, and they hope that we're going to forget that this is the stolen seat. So the question I keep coming back to is, well, you know, what are Democrats going to do? Do they have the steely spine? Does Chuck Schumer know something that maybe the rest of us don't, and that, you know, he's saying, look, you know, it might not happen.
Oh, I think I'm assuming at this point, you know, Schumer has the 41. I think that folks in purple states, you know, Bill Nelson, Florida, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, John Tester in Montana, they've all said that they will filibuster. So I think they're basically there. The question now is, I mean, judicial battles, generally speaking, people in the middle don't even care. This is an issue that generally animates the bases of both parties. It's not been a voting issue for swing voters. It's why the Garland gambit worked. I mean, Democrats thought, how can they get away with this? We can get away with it because most of the middle, it's not what's top of mind for them. They care about what's going on with their pocketbook.
Right.
Yeah,
but their pocketbooks, Bill. I mean, the reality is, you know, I look at Gorsuch in the one case, you know, as somebody who drove a truck for years, the Trans Am trucking case to me is just, you know, this guy should be nowhere near a bench. They should not give him a gavel. They should beat him with it. Because I look at that case where he's decided that a guy has the choice of possibly freeze to death or lose your job. I mean, it's that simple. And ask any working person what choice. Here's your choice: freeze to death, possibly die, or have a job. I think most people go, you know, that's a bit extreme.
I mean, I totally agree, and obviously, what happens on the court very well can affect people's pocketbooks or their daily lives. I do think the average person doesn't always make that connection. Most people don't become court cases. They don't, their cases don't go to the Supreme Court. So it seems a lot of it seems very abstract. And that's why these court battles tend not to be the motivating factor. I mean, their base motivators tend not to be swing vote motivators.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge for Democrats is to make this case relevant to most voters and highlight what damage may be done by Republicans acting in such a crass and partisan manner.
Yeah, is it too late, though? I mean, look, I mean, this is a foundation that you're talking about that I think should have been laid, oh, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago?
Well, I don't think Democrats are, I mean, it's tough to have a laser focus on this one issue when there's so much insanity happening on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, when you're getting hit in the face with a fire hose, you're right.
Right. I mean, the fact that they're getting to 41 at all, I'm, you know, a bit surprised by it. It would not have been surprising to me. You have 11 Democratic senators in states that Trump won, and Republicans only need to pick off eight. It would not have been surprising to me for those Democrats to say, hey, you know, I'm going to give them this one. I can't run for re-election in 2018, and 10 of those 11 will be up for re-election next year. They don't want to go back to their states and say, I have faced with ads, so-and-so voted with Chuck Schumer 90% of the time. They want to avoid that. So you got to break ranks from time to time. You want to do it strategically and selectively, and maybe a Gorsuch vote would be one where you say, look, they're going to get it. They're going to get it anyway. My vote's not determinative here, so why not throw them this vote?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, that's the kind of, I know there's a street fight going on, and I'll be happy to hold your coat kind of mentality that's gotten the Democrats in this situation.
Well, I think you're seeing it from most of these Democrats. I mean, the only ones who have gone over Manchin, Heitkamp, and Donnelly, those are the three states, they represent the three states, Indiana, Montana, West Virginia, that have the highest Trump vote.
Right.
Of all the Democrats that we're talking about here. And Bennett, who's anti-filibuster, he's got a home state issue. So, I mean, that's why the pull is stronger for them. But for the rest of them, they're following the argument that my base wants it, even in a red state. There are liberal bases. They want this. They want me to fight the good fight, and they're following through on that.
No, I mean, I look here at Pennsylvania. The first thing I did was, you know, send a tweet and an email to Bob Casey saying, look, this is a non-starter. This is one of those things where this is showing me who you are, and you're up for re-election in 2018. It's not that I'd vote against him, but, you know, or I'd vote for a Republican, but, you know, who knows?
Well, they're all worried about primaries. They all want to avoid attracting primary challengers, and even in West Virginia, which is the reddest state of them all, literally, there are people on the left there. There's a mountain party that's like a green party in West Virginia. And part of the challenge of winning in a state like that, if you're a Democrat, is holding a coalition together of people on the left and people in the middle. And a vote like this is the kind of vote that threatens that coalition because you can't make everybody happy. But what most of these Democrats are saying is, we think the bigger threat is the primary challenge. We want to avoid that primary challenge and keep the left flank in our states happy because we don't think this will be the biggest, most important vote in the general election.
Right. I think it's huge, but you know that's a calculus that you play when you're doing the election game. So the last line of questioning I've got for you, because this is going to roll out fairly quickly. What are we watching for? What are we looking out for? Is there a key to this that you think?
Well, I think the game now is nuclear option. We haven't seen a lot of whip count journalism on what Republicans might break ranks. I mean, there's been a little bit of it. But now the pressure is really going to be on in the next 4 days. Do you really want to end the filibuster for Supreme Court justices? Who knows who's president in 2020? You might, you know, people are assuming that Trump's going to get more picks. That might not be true.
Right.
You know, the next, you might get two or three in the next term, that person might not be a Republican. So they need to think long and hard with the long-term consequences before taking that vote.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that I was saying when Democrats did away with the filibuster of some of the judicial candidates. Again, the expedience part of it's one thing, but once you start going down this slippery slope, it ends nowhere good.
it's a hard thing to game out. I mean, in the case of the lower court justices, you had a whole bunch sitting on the sidelines there. The Republicans have been filibustering for a long time. And once you end the filibuster, you get to approve them all right away. So you know what you're pocketing, at least in the short run.
Right.
You don't know exactly what's going to happen in the long run. I mean, here's a case where you don't even know what the short run is outside of Gorsuch himself, because you have no idea who the next retirements are going to be. So it's impossible to know who is going to win out if that filibuster goes down.
Yeah, it's the tip of the nose theory, and right now the Republicans they want this guy. Scary, scary stuff. Bill, I appreciate the time. Great talking with you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Always great talking to you, Bill Scheer. Again, you want to check out his piece? We'll get a link at the RickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.